still studying about Elisha the prophet. And it says in verse 38, and Elisha came again to Gilgal. It says he came again to Gilgal because this was a place that he had been on other occasions. It was a place where he and Elisha, his mentor, had spent a lot of time together. So he comes back to Gilgal, and it says there was a dearth in the land. A dearth is a famine. It's a time of scarcity. And it says the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And we've seen reference made already several times to these sons of the prophets. These are sort of like Bible students, if you will. That's the best way I know to describe it in modern-day terms. They were the sons of the prophets, but they themselves also were prophets. And they were being schooled, if you will, or trained by Elisha. And that's one thing that it means, the primary meaning, when it says that the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. They were sitting before him, and he was teaching them, training them, instructing them in the things of God. And he said unto his servant, now, do you remember the name of Elisha's servant? It's Gehazi. I suppose that's how you pronounce it. That's how I pronounce it anyway, G-E-H-A-Z-I, Gehazi. That was his servant. And Elisha says to his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. He's wanting Gehazi to get the big pot that they cooked in, and he wanted him to make some soup. He says seethe, which means to boil, pottage. And pottage, by definition, is a thick soup or stew. That's what pottage is. So he's wanting him to set on the pot and to boil up a soup or a stew so that the sons of the prophets could have a meal. Now you don't need to forget what we just read. We just read that there was a dearth in the land. There's a famine. So that means that having food at this time is not easy. It's scarce. It's hard to come by during these times. But this is what he says to be done. And it says in verse 39 that one went out into the field to gather herbs. I suppose they must not have had any meat around, because they go out to gather herbs, and it says they found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full. Evidently, he had some type of garment on, a shirt or some other garment. Y'all ever used your shirt before to put stuff in? Well, he gathers him a lap full of these gourds, these wild gourds that he finds growing on the vine. And this shows how scarce food was. I mean, they're down to the slim pickings, you might say. They're just wandering out here trying to find what they can to put in this soup. And they come across this wild vine. This wasn't something that normally they grew in their garden, just a wild vine. And it says that it had these wild gourds growing on it, and he gathers him a lap full. And this is what they use to make the pottage. Again, they must not have had any meat. How many of you like meat in your pottage? I'm a meat eater, okay? Now, I love vegetables. I love all kinds of vegetables. I love the vegetables being in there. And I can eat just a vegetable soup, but if I got some meat, I'm going to chunk me a little meat in there. I like some meat in it. But evidently they didn't have any. And so he brings back the wild gourds, and it says he shred them into the pot of pottage. I'm sure there were other things in there as well, but he shreds these. He cuts them up and puts them in the pottage, and it says, for they knew them not. This was something they weren't familiar with. And that in and of itself is a little dangerous. When you go to eating stuff that you don't know about, you're kind of taking a chance there. You're just not sure if it's good for you, bad for you, something's going to hurt you, something's going to kill you. But I guess things were so bad at the time because of this famine, they didn't have a whole lot of options. So, yes, sir.
Same window one time, and they cross-pollinated, and they had a water gourd.
a water gourd. Bad stuff, huh? Well, they didn't know anything about them, and so they put them in the pottage. But it says in verse 40, so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. It must have had some type of taste to it, to where they realized that it was deadly. Or perhaps some of them got sick. I guess it's possible that one of them might have died, but I don't think that, because it doesn't say anything about anybody dying here. But there was something about it to where they realized this is bad, this is deadly, we don't need to eat that. There's death in the pot. Something down in there will kill you, so we need to stop eating it right now. And they could not eat thereof. I would point out that when they realized there was something deadly in there, something that was bad for them, that they backed off from it. You know what I mean? They had enough sense that if it would kill them, we don't need to eat that. Do you know there's people the world over who do stuff every day and they know it's killing them? And they just keep on, and they keep on, and they keep on. They even go to a doctor, and the doctor looks them in the eyes and says, if you don't stop, it's going to kill you. You're going to die. You're not going to live if you keep on. You know what they do? They keep on, and they keep on, and they keep on. That's just, you know, I'm going to be as nice as I can be. That's just not real smart. When you know that you're killing yourself, when you know that you're taking into your system, into your body, something that is going to destroy you, and you've been counseled by people, you've read it in the Bible, you know that you're not going to last if you keep on, and you just keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on. It's just not real smart. Yes, ma'am. Death in that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just things that we take in literally into our body, but it's other things, stuff that you take into your mind and your heart, things you read, things you listen to, stuff will kill you. It'll ruin you, destroy you, spiritually speaking. And a lot of folks just keep on bringing it in, keep on bringing it in. They've heard preachers preach against it, heard preachers warn them, talked to other people to warn them, you don't need to be listening to that stuff, you need to stay away from it, and they just keep on and keep on. It's just ruining them. It's destroying them spiritually. These fellas right here, when they realized that this was a deadly pottage, that was it. Quit eating. Verse 41, but he said, then bring meal. This is what Elisha said, bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. Right there is how I know they must not have had no meat, because they had meal. If they'd have had some meat, they'd have rolled that meat in it, and they'd have fried them something right then, wouldn't it? Been some good stuff. Then he said, bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. Now, we've already seen miracles performed by Elisha. We saw certain miracles that Elijah did. We've seen similarities in some of the miracles that Elisha has performed. And you remember, before Elijah was taken, Elisha said, this is what I want. I want a double portion of thy spirit. And that's why you read twice as much in your Bible about Elisha as you do Elijah. And that's why you see more miracles performed by him that are recorded anyway than Elijah, because he got a double portion of Elijah's spirit on him. And here is a miracle that is similar. Look back at 2 Kings chapter 2. This is similar to a miracle that was performed earlier by Elisha. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is gnawed and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there. And said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha which he spake." You see what he does there? He casts something into that water. It's salt. He cast it in there. A miracle is performed by the Lord through Elisha, and the waters are healed. The death is taken out of that water. Well, this is very similar, because here in chapter 4, you got death in the pot. And he says, "Bring me some meal." And what does he do with the meal? He just casts it in there. He puts the meal in the pot. And what happens? It heals the death that is in there. It says back in chapter 4, verse 41, "But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it in the pot. And he said, Pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot." It's a miracle. Just supernatural. It's the Lord doing something here. And he's using Elisha the prophet to perform this miracle. So the men are able to eat the meal now without having to worry about dying. And then you see in verse 42, it says, "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits." You know what the first fruits are? Those are the best, right? The first fruits are the first things that you pick from the crop. They're usually the best, and they're usually the most as well, but they're certainly the best. And this man here, I want you to note, his name is not mentioned, but you see what he does? He's had a harvest, and he brings some of the first fruits to the man of God. He decides that he wants to be a blessing to God's man. He wants to help him out. He wants to bring some food because there's a dearth in the land. He knows how hard it is to come by at this time, so he's thinking, "I want to give some of what God has provided for me to the man of God to help him, to help the sons of the prophets." That's what he's doing. And yet his name is not mentioned. His name's not mentioned at all. It's interesting how often in the Bible you have situations like that, isn't it? We've seen that several times, where somebody does something, but their name's not recorded, not mentioned. You know, I believe the primary reason for that is so the glory won't be given to the man, but to the Lord. That's what's important, is that God get the glory for anything and everything that we're able to do. But this fella right here, he comes and he brings these first fruits, bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. Some of that corn on the cob, it sounds like. Yeah, that's right. You can do all kind of stuff with corn on the cob, can't you? You can boil it. You can grill it. Put it on a grill. Do all kind of stuff. Some of the best corn on the cob I've ever eaten is grilled corn on the cob. Wonderful. You can cook it and cut it off the cob. That's what my wife does. We have corn on the cob. She cuts it off the cob. That's how she eats it. She's a Yankee, you know. She does strange things. Strange things. But I like bread. Don't y'all? Y'all like bread? I love it. Man, I could eat my weight in bread. Here's these 20 loaves of barley, full ears of corn in the husk thereof. He brings it to God's man to be a blessing, to be a help to him. And he said, the man of God said, "Give unto the people that they may eat." Now look at that. The food is brought to Elisha, So that man shares with Elisha, and then Elisha shares with the people. See that? Just always bear in mind, as God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Whenever God's good to you, be good to somebody else. Don't just be selfish and stingy and keep it all for yourself and think about just yourself. But try to use what God imparts to you in some way to be a blessing to somebody else. But notice verse 43, and his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? Which shows you there was a good crowd of people there, at least 100 sons of the prophets that are there sitting before Elisha. And they've only got 20 loaves and some ears of corn, so when Elisha says, set this before the men or give this to the people to eat, the servant is like, well, that ain't enough. You know, am I going to put this before 100 people? That's just not enough for them. They're not going to be able to get enough to nourish and satisfy them from this amount. Now, can y'all think of another story in the Bible that's similar to that? That's right. When Jesus fed the 5,000. He asked what they had, and they just had two small fish and five loaves. And he tells his disciples to set the people down and to disperse that. And the disciples they're not seeing that. You know, what is this among so many is what one of them said. What is this among just a handful of food? You think we're going to feed over 5,000 people? And that's kind of the attitude of this servant here. Look, we just got a little bit. That's not going to feed 100 people. But notice, he said again. He didn't change what he said. He said again, give the people that they may eat. Why? For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. Not only are they going to eat and be satisfied, but there's going to be leftovers. Y'all eat leftovers? There's some things that just get better after a day or two in the refrigerator, don't they? I like leftovers. It's good. Somebody told me one time that they didn't ever eat leftovers. They wouldn't have done very well growing up in the house I lived in. People say, I don't wear hand-me-downs. You're just full of pride and arrogance. I wore many a hand-me-down, and I'll wear one right now. Don't believe it? Try me. Give me some. If they fit me, I'll wear them. Save me some money. I don't care about going up and spending a bunch of money in the store for clothes. It's going to wear out. I don't have a problem with it. I like leftovers. But here, what God's man says, he says, give it to them because they're going to eat, and there's going to be leftovers. They will leave thereof. Same thing happened in that story we just referenced. You remember? The 5,000, more than 5,000, it was just 5,000 men besides women and children. So over 5,000, that's a whole lot of people there, a whole lot of people. And they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments that were left over after all those people leave, leftovers. Verse 44, so he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Exactly what God said was going to happen is what happened. And we're going to stop here tonight since we do have some other things to take care of. But do you have any questions about what we looked at here in the passage? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know why.